Today, as we come to the table,
you believe you receive, you're saved. That's all you did. There's no works. You believe Jesus, he did it, you're saved. But he put very specific requirements on being a disciple. In other words, you can be saved and not be a disciple. That shocks many people. But when you go back and look, he gave very, very detailed specifics about discipleship, not about salvation. One of the things he said, if you're going to be my disciple, he said, you've got to take up your cross and follow me daily, daily. What that tells me, if Barna is right, that means only 9% of the church are disciples in this generation.
How much of your life is following Jesus? Where do you devote the majority of your energy? Is it in your career, your family, your hobbies? As Pastor Mark will clarify in today's message, it's possible to be saved but not live as a disciple of Jesus. Being a disciple requires your ambition and resources. It takes sacrifice and time as you pursue Jesus' calling on your life. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. For many of us, we may only dedicate Sunday morning to God. While that's an important part of our faith journey, we're missing out on so much if that's all we're doing. God wants us to walk in the abundance of His Holy Spirit every moment of every day. Now let's join Pastor Mark as he continues to study Jesus' message to his church in Revelation chapter 3.
Here's the bottom line. I love the way Pastor Chuck was saying it. I quote him a lot because I so many things I learned from him. But Jesus said this, abide in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. Abide in me and you'll bear fruit. The key is just abide. Don't stop abiding and it's never an issue. He says, but this I'll do. I'll confess his name before my Father, the one that, again, stays true to me, and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So the Protestant church era dealt with through verse 6. Now we come to, again, the Church of Philadelphia. This is the faithful church. And I believe when we look at church history, if these really do line up in different eras of church history, and again, to me, it's pretty obvious that they do, this is the one we're currently in. And what makes this really cool is this is the one that speaks about the rapture. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. But this is the current church age that we are in. He calls it the faithful church, the Church of Philadelphia. Philadelphia means brotherly love. He said, again, there were brothers that helped develop that region, and they loved each other very much. They had a reputation for their close relationship, and hence naming the region Philadelphia, the place of brotherly love. He says, to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write. Here's his descriptor. These things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. Again, notice his introduction here. What he's saying is, for this church of brotherly love, if you're truly going to be a church of brotherly love, you need to be holy and you need to be true. Because that's who I am. I am holy and I'm true. And if there's anything we need right now, I believe in the Philadelphia church period that we're in, is holiness. As the church is losing its holiness. And I'm not talking about what you wear or how you talk. Holiness simply means set apart for God. Set apart for God. It means to be not like the world. He says, if you're going to be faithful, you need to be holy. And you need to be true. That's who I am. And he says, he who has the key of David, he opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. God is saying, I'm going to give an open door to this church time and allow the doors to stay open until I come to get my church. And I believe right now God is keeping the doors open. For the church. I'm not talking about just in attendance here today. I mean, in general, regardless of what happens in the world, there are open doors around the world for the body of Christ. And although persecution has increased and persecution will increase around the world, the closer we get to the rapture of the church, God has said here, I'm going to keep the door open. I'm going to allow the church to minister. How that's going to look when this all pans out, I don't know. But the reality is, God has given us this opportunity, and we need to be walking through that door. We need to be taking every opportunity that we have. Again, not just in the sense of, as we talked about, whatever program we can develop, but doors that God is truly opening. I'll tell you something. Listen, I encourage you guys, be men and women of faith. Don't be afraid to venture in faith. If you see something that you believe God wants to do and you step out and it doesn't happen, here's the worst thing that can happen. You're right where you were before you stepped out. It's no different. But if you step out and God does something amazing, wow. Wow. I think of Jonathan. Remember Jonathan? And I either talked to the staff about it or talked to you guys about it or talked about it on Wednesday night. So I don't remember if I did. Bear with me if I told you. I won't go long on it. But remember Jonathan, his armor bearer, he saw the Philistines. He said, you know what? Maybe God will just give us victory. He's like, there's a bunch more up there than we are. Well, listen, who cares? God's God. So let's take a venture of faith. I'll go up there. I'll say this. If they say that, then we won't go up. If they say this, let's go. God's given them to us. Jonathan goes up, just out of the blue says it. They say the right thing. They go up this hill and wipes out over 20 Philistines, one guy. And then the battle breaks out between the armies and Israel overtakes the Philistines and conquers them. The bottom line is you don't know what God's going to do unless you step out and let God do it. We have a powerful God, and I believe we're going to see great exploits by the people of God in the last days for those who will step out. Would it be great to know you were one of those that wasn't afraid to step out and you see the reward and the fact of what you did when you get to heaven and to think, I should have done it, I should have done it. Now again, might you fail? Yeah, you might. I've stepped out a lot on things. I said, Lord, if this is you, here we go. We're going to try it. Falling flat on my face. It doesn't feel good. It can even be embarrassing sometimes. But when you step out and you see God move, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. This was a church that wasn't afraid to step out. He's encouraging them. I've opened a door. Don't be afraid to go through it. Look at verse 8. I know your works. See, I've set before you an open door and no one can shut it, for you have a little strength. And you've kept my word, and you've not denied my name. What a beautiful thing to say. Their strength isn't strong, but they've been faithful to his word, and they haven't denied his name. Again, guys, be faithful to the word of God. Don't deny his name, now more than ever. And we'll get into the reason why here in just a moment. He says, indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they're Jews but are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I've loved you. Now, this is interesting. In that day, the Jews were an accepted religion in Rome, but the church was not. And so what the Jews did, they jumped in with the Romans and they persecuted the church. And God saw that and said, you're persecuting me. He said, don't worry. I'm going to make them one day acknowledge that I was with you and I wasn't with them. And they're going to have to basically bow down into your position of authority. Now, this isn't going to happen until the kingdom of God. But it says we're going to be ruling and reigning with the Lord. And it would appear that God's going to force those that have opposed the church, especially those who said they were followers of the God of the Bible, to acknowledge they were wrong and to humble themselves before those that had Jesus Christ. And so he's saying, look, don't worry. They're giving you a hard time. They say they have the God of the Bible, but they've rejected the very God the Bible speaks about, their own Messiah, Jesus Christ. And he says, they're going to acknowledge that one day. Don't worry. I will make everything right. Again, the God of justice in his timing. He says, because you've kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world. What does the Bible say the hour of trial that's going to come upon the whole world is? The Great Tribulation. It's called the time of Jacob's trouble in other places in Scripture. The Bible says it will be the worst time. Note this, the worst time in world history for mankind. Who can think of some really bad times in world history? Oh my goodness. I say that a lot lately. Sorry about that. Think about Hitler. That's one in just right here, generation before us or so. He says, that's nothing. You think about all the atrocities throughout the ages, those of you that know history. He says, the Great Tribulation will dwarf them all. It's going to be the worst ever. The whole world's going to be under trial and notice to be tested to test those who dwell on the earth. Again, notice what he's promising. He says, you, this church, which again is the current church period, if the historic outlook is right and the theological approach, which I believe. But either way, he says to his church, if you persevere, if you don't walk away, if you stay faithful, I will keep you from the hour of trial. I will deliver you from the great tribulation. Who wants that to happen in their life? I do. Now, again, I know there are some that want to go through the Great Tribulation, and I appreciate that spirit. I think for maybe even good reason. I think for a good reason. They want to be there to protect everybody and be that war. Listen, I understand that and I appreciate that. Way to go. That's a great heart. But my understanding of Scripture is we're not going to be here for that. We're going to be taken out of here before that takes place because Jesus promised us he would keep us from that hour. Well, maybe we'll be somewhere under protection. There's no protection anywhere. The entire world's going to be under the judgment of God. The wrath of God will cover the globe. There's one place, Petra, that God's going to supernaturally protect. Well, we'll go to Petra and we'll join all the Jews. How are we going to get there? And by the way, you can't get every believer in Petra with all the Jews. I said, trying to get Cinderella's sister's foot in that slipper. It's not going to fit, right? But the Lord says, don't worry. I'm taking you out. I promise I will deliver you. Notice why he's sending the great tribulation. This is interesting to me. To test those who dwell on the earth. What God is saying is that this is going to be a decision time for those who don't know me and go through that. They're going to be tested. Are they going to yield to me or not? And the Bible says, and we'll see it later on in Revelation, that those there that are left behind, those who don't know the Lord, they're going to be shaking their fist at God. Now, not those who get saved afterwards. The world's going to be shaking their fist at God saying, how dare you? He's going to be testing them. And notice he says, behold, I'm coming quickly. Now again, don't be stumbled. This is that word tachys, T-A-C-H-Y-S. Again, in the Greek, what it means is when this happens, it will be fast. It doesn't mean I'm coming tomorrow. It means when I do, when I start this end times process, it's going to happen really quickly. That's the meaning of this sentence. That's the meaning of the word in the language. How many of you have noticed an uptick in what's happening worldwide in prophetic events recently? Has anybody noticed that? I believe, guys, the process is beginning. I think this thing's going to go very rapidly. And as I said, we're going to talk more about it here in a few weeks once the dust settles and look at what's going on. I don't want to be sensational. I don't like that. We're never going to set dates. That's just not what we're going to do. The Bible warns against that. But we need to have our eyes wide open and be aware of what's happening and know that I believe things are going to move quickly. Because the Lord said once they start, they're going to move very rapidly. And I believe, for example, if America holding the world back is really out of the way by this January, regardless of where you stand politically, if America's really out of the way, I don't see anything holding this thing back. Now, only time will tell. It may not move forward as quickly as I'm thinking. It may not just be like that. It may be a slow kind of gradual, but I think you're going to see kind of this wave begin to build that's going to build toward this world union, this world globalism, this world everything, and then suddenly you're going to watch a 10-nation conglomerate or a 10-region conglomerate. We don't know yet. It's represented by the 10 toes and the vision that God gave Daniel. You're going to see that come together, and the Bible says once you see that come together, at any moment, the Antichrist could rise up in the midst of that and take power. Now again, I have convictions that we won't be here when that takes place, but we'll have to wait and see. We know we're going to be taken out before the Great Tribulation. And so we'll see where the timing is of all that. But he says, I'm coming quickly. Notice what he warns them. Hold fast what you have that no one may take your crown. This is what I want to drive in your heart. One of the main points I want to drive to my brothers and sisters in the Lord this morning. And that is this. Listen, what he's saying is you can lose reward. He's saying, don't let anybody take your crown. See, the Bible says in the last days, there will be a falling away. And I believe it's already taken place. I think the falling away has begun in many areas of the church even today. And the Bible says that for those who fall away, I'm not saying they aren't saved. I'm not saying they won't go to heaven. They will. But their reward will be lessened and some have even lost. And here's what he's saying, and this is why I want to encourage you guys this morning. Don't let anybody take your crown. He said, if you persevere, you will not lose any reward. No one will take your crown. Don't let them do it. I read this week, I don't know how accurate Barna is and the Barna research and all that, I don't know. But they did one of their surveys just recently, they do of the church, and they said 9% of the church, of those who say they know the Lord and of the church that they interviewed, read their Bible daily. Well, the first thing I thought of was Jesus said this. He said, if you're going to be my disciple. Now notice this. The Lord didn't put any requirements on salvation other than believing and receiving, okay? You believe, you receive, you're saved. That's all he did. There's no works. You believe Jesus, he did it, you're saved. But he put very specific requirements on being a disciple. No, you can be saved and not be a disciple. That shocks many people. But when you go back and look, he gave very, very detailed specifics about discipleship. Not about salvation. One of the things he said, if you're going to be my disciple, he said, you've got to take up your cross and follow me daily, daily, What that tells me, if Barna is right, that means only 9% of the church are disciples in this generation. That saddens me. It saddens me greatly. But here's the bottom line. This isn't a salvation issue, but here's my heart to you. Become a disciple. Seek the Lord daily, more than ever in the days that we're in. Don't lose your crown. Don't lose rewards you've already worked for. Don't let anyone take your crown. And by the way, in the days we're heading into, it's only going to be those that are truly committed and disciples in the Lord that I think are going to survive through this. I think that's why there's going to be a falling away. Because many people are going to say, you know what, I don't even know if I believe the Bible's true, and I don't know what I think about this, and they start accepting everything the society's putting into them because they don't know the Word, and they're not spending time in the Word, and they fall away. Don't let that be you. I want you, listen, when we stand before the Lord, the Bible says that I'm going to give account for you guys. Now, I don't know if that means you're only here for a week or if it goes a month or 3 months. I don't know when that accountability drops. All I know is God's going to hold me accountable. And I've always thought of it this way. I want to get to heaven. I don't want to lose any reward. I want to make sure that I've done everything God has asked me to do. But the older I get in the Lord and the more I begin to realize the accountability I have as your pastor here at Calvary Knoxville, I want you to also be in that same place. I want you to be dancing before the Lord. I want you to be excited about your reward. I want us all to be excited about our reward together. I want to stand before the Lord and say, you know what, Lord? We weren't a giant church and I wasn't really a known pastor, but I did everything I could to make them disciples. We went line by line, verse by verse through the whole Bible. We did it every Sunday night, Wednesday night. We prayed, we discipled, we worked. I warned them. I told them, please get in the Word. Please spend time. Be a disciple. Don't lose your reward. I want to be able to stand there and know that I did that. But beyond that, and I know I'm talking fast. I said, slow down, Mark. But beyond that, I want to be able to look at you guys with big smiles on your faces saying, we all did it together. We all did it. We're disciples. And we have great reward and great crowns. And I say, you know what? There's going to be a lot of people over the, I think, massive churches that may not be able to show off disciples. I want to show you guys off. I want to brag on you. Look at that one. Look at that one. Look how shiny that one is. Beautiful. Beautiful. That's what I want for you. That's what I want for all of us. And so he says, don't let anybody take your crown. Verse 12, he who overcomes, I'll make him a pillar in the temple of my God, that is, you're going to be settled strong in the kingdom. You'll be an example. You'll be in great authority. You're going to be there in the temple with the Lord. That's what he's going to reward you with if you do this. And he shall go out no more. I love this. I will write on him. He's going to write on you the name of my God. This is probably why the Antichrist wants to put the mark on us, because again, God writes his name on you. Satan wants to be God. He wants to put his name on you. But no, on you, he's going to write his name, the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. I have 4 minutes to finish. The last church, the lukewarm church. You thought I was talking fast before. Hang on. We did put seat belts on the seats. If you guys would strap in, this is a bumpy ride. And to the angel of the church of Laodicea, now we come. Okay, we're going to go a hair over. That's obvious. But we're going to finish this chapter. Now, I'm not going to go super long. Don't worry. But here's the bottom line. Now the church age is done. He says this age will be the one that'll keep from the hour of trial. We'll be taken out of here. Who's left behind? All the religious who never really knew Christ. Guys, the day after the rapture, there's going to be people showing up to church that week. There's going to be pastors in pulpits that week. And that's when it's going to get real. And they can still be saved. They just have to go through the great tribulation. And this is that church that goes through the great tribulation. Notice what he says. And he gives them the remedy to make sure they get in the kingdom. To the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write this. These things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness. I'm true to my word. The beginning, or the authority over all the creation of God, is the idea behind that. So God's saying, I'm speaking authoritatively to let you know you can still be saved. You just have to go through the great tribulation. But you got a lot of issues you better deal with. And most of you won't make it. This is what he says. I know your works, that you're neither cold nor hot. You know, he's like, look, either be on fire or be totally cold. Those are the easiest people to recognize. Somebody's on fire, you know it. If somebody's cold, you know it. It's the dangerous lukewarm in the middle. And that's what he's going to address. Those who feel like they're good enough to get to heaven. I go to church enough. It's not about going to church. I shouldn't even use that example. But I'm good enough the way I am. And he goes on and says, I wish you were cold or hot. And notice how firmly he speaks here. So then, because you're lukewarm, it's like that lukewarm milk on the counter that you accidentally drink that's gross, right? Because you're lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Pretty drastic words by the Lord. He says, because you say I'm rich, and have become wealthy and have need of nothing. You say, wow, how would the church be rich? No, he's talking about this one world church system. Remember, there's going to be a one world church system that's going to be brought together, a very wealthy system. And that's why most scholars believe it's going to be the shell left over in the Catholic Church because of all the money they have. And he says, because you're rich, you become wealthy, you have need of nothing. You say that. You do not know that you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. You're spiritually naked. God sees the truth. I counsel you to buy from me, notice this, gold refined in the fire. That's how gold is refined. It's heated up until all the impurities are gone and it's purified. What he's saying is this. Listen to me, church, they'll be reading this after we're gone. And there'll be a lot of people reading this after we're gone. That's why God wrote this. And what he's saying to them is this. Look, you're going to have to go through the fire now. You're going to have to go through the great tribulation. But if you'll stay true to me, if you'll go from being cold to hot, you're going to make it. I'll refine you, and I'll make you into gold, and I'll bring you into the kingdom. But you need to be faithful. You'll be refined in the fire, that you may be rich, that is spiritually rich, with white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness, again, that spiritual nakedness, the fakery that's been going on, may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve. They were famous for their eye salve there in Laodicea. And what he's saying is that your spiritual eyes will be open to what I'm saying, that you may see. And I love this. Notice, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Can you imagine people left behind? I thought I knew God. Nobody told me that I needed. I really thought it was, this is God. How can you do this? He's saying, look, I love you. If you love me, why am I left for the great tribulation? Listen to me. I love you. And that's why I'm rebuking you. And that's why I'm chastening you. It's because I love you. If I didn't allow you to go through this, you would have never given your life to me. It would have been fake until you died. The greatest act of love that God can do for the person who's pretending, if they don't give their life to Christ beforehand, is allow pressure in their life so they'll come to their senses and be welcomed into the kingdom of God. And so what he's saying is, I am blessing you by giving you a door in now. I will refine you. Yes, you've made it harder on yourself, but it's not that I don't love you. I'm rebuking you and chastening you. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Deal with it now, hard and immediate. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And look at this beautiful picture of the Lord outside of his church. He's wanting in. He's outside. That shows you how this church doesn't even have God in it. It's a fake religious symbol. He says, I stand at the door and knock. But here's the good news. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and dine with him and he with me. Dining, eating together in that day was a picture of oneness. What he's saying is, you open the door, you let me in, I'll become one with you and I'll bring you into the kingdom of God. To him who overcomes, that is, makes it through the great tribulation, I will grant to sit with me on my throne as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. The Bible says we'll rule and reign with the Lord in that new kingdom. And those even that are saved after the rapture will get that honor. And he says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Let me wrap this up. I know, again, for time. Let me wrap this up. Here's the deal. Guys, the Lord is knocking on some of your hearts today. Here's what he's saying. I stand at the door and knock. And I know some of you are hearing that knocking. Now, maybe everyone in here knows the Lord. Okay? But maybe everyone doesn't. And the Lord is knocking on your heart. Don't be the person reading the message to the church of Laodicea the day after the rapture weeping. Be the one that receives Christ today and rejoices for what lies ahead and that you're going to be removed from this mess before it really gets crazy.
While our time at the table of God's Word is ending for today, please keep reading in the book of Revelation. There's so much to discover. If you missed any part of this broadcast or you want to hear it again, visit thewaymedia.net. You can also subscribe to the podcast so you'll never miss an episode. Again, just visit thewaymedia.net, then click on Come to the Table, or download the Way Media app and get push notifications on that day's broadcast. Our teachings through this climactic ending book of the Bible touches on God bringing judgment to a Christ-rejecting world. But that's not where it ends. If you choose to follow Jesus, there's much more life to live beyond the accounts of Revelation. The story actually continues and can include you. If you're unsure what this means, please don't hesitate to submit questions or comments on our website. Just go to thewaymedia.net, click on Come to the Table, and find the questions and comments link. On behalf of Pastor Mark, we'd appreciate your prayers during this study. The book of Revelation can be a controversial and debate-ridden study, and we're asking for unity and a clear message to be presented that's inspired by God Almighty. Please pray that the Holy Spirit would lead those who don't know God to hear this program and find hope in Jesus. Thanks for lifting your fellow listeners up to the Lord. Pastor Mark has more to share on the big picture of the book of Revelation, so we hope you'll be able to join us the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.